Martin Secular in Washington, D.C. The GOP debate gets heated. We'll discuss it.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Let's throw out the 10 million word mess and put in our plan, which will liberate the American workers and liberate American businesses.
Well, I think if the question is, does faith matter? Absolutely.
And I'm going to be getting a bushel basket that has apples and oranges in it because I'm going to pay both taxes.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If we give Congress a 9% sales tax, how long will it take a liberal president and a liberal Congress to run that up to maybe 90%?
The basic building block of a society is not the individual, it's the family.
The notion that you're endowed by your creator sets a certain boundary on what we mean by America.
I'll bump plans with you, brother, and we'll see who has the best idea about how you get this country working again. You want 9 cents on top of that, or 9% on a new home, 9% on your Social Security, 9% more? I don't think so, Herman. It's not going to fly.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Admit you lose all of your standing from my perspective because you hired illegals. And the idea that you stand here before us and talk about that you're strong on immigration is on its face. The height of hypocrisy.
Herman Cain deserves a lot of credit. He has us at least talking about something that matters, as opposed to the junk that all too often is masquerading as politics in this country.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. My dad's joining us by phone, a special broadcast. We're going to be covering a full hour of the GOP debate last night. It was probably the toughest debate so far in the presidential primary calendar. Certainly Rick Perry trying to make a comeback. You had some other candidates like Herman Cain trying to explain 999, and of course others disagreeing with this program, saying that it would actually lead to higher taxes. So it was a tough debate. There was plenty to play, plenty of sound bites, and plenty of analysis to go through. I'll go first, though, to my dad, because we haven't seen one this heated yet. Rick Perry did seem a little bit more focused and into it, but you got to look back and say Mitt Romney continues to kind of, even when they all went after him, slide right through, and they start, the others start bickering with each other, people who are barely even able to keep their campaigns alive.
No, this was a major situation here as far as debates go. I'm not so sure it was overall helpful for Republicans, to be quite honest, because I think you've got the 11th commandment of Ronald Reagan is not don't talk evil of another Republican. That was ignored. But there's big differences, and it's a large field. So in part, that explains it. But let me take it a step further here. And that is the attacks were focused primarily on Herman Cain and Mitt Romney. Why? They're the perceived front runners, and the statistics back that up. They are the front runners. There was much less acrimony, if you will, given towards Governor Perry. Although on the immigration issue, he was trying to make it very personal with Mitt Romney, which makes it also interesting because when you get into personality clashes, that's usually not very helpful. And I think Dick Morris said last night that he really scored it as a win for Mitt Romney, again, kind of staying not only above the fray, but answering it very aggressively when he was challenged. I will say that Herman Cain was hit hard on 999, his tax plan. He responded, I think he responded well. I'm not convinced as a tax lawyer that it's the right plan, but he did defend it. But he certainly is now realizing what it's like to be a front runner.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we're going to be playing some of these sound bites. We come back from the break. We'll go to the 999 plan and the oranges and apples. We'll talk about immigration because I think Rick Perry tried to hit Mitt Romney on something about, his yard company and the guys that are working for the yard company. And yet Rick Perry, he was the guy who is against E-Verify so that these companies would have to verify whether or not illegal immigrants were working for them or not. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We're offering today the Foundations of Freedom, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and Gettysburg Address, all absolutely free. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Continue to pray for Pastor Youssef as we filed our petition today.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, J Secular Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to J Secular all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
The ACLJ on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. Free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or online at aclj.org. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Sekulow brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to jordansekulow.com.
Hey, welcome back to J Sekulow Live. My dad joining us by phone. I'm here in Washington, D.C. That debate last night, usually we wouldn't do a full hour. We're going to do it on the Jordan Sekulow Show as well with David Brody from CBN News, because people are looking at this debate many different ways. A lot of people walking away saying Mitt Romney sails through again. Rick Perry did somewhat better, but certainly he's now, you know, he's trying to look like he's the front runner, but really he's having to go after Herman Cain because Herman Cain's beating him in the polls. He may not have the money. He may not have the organization. And we're going to have an honest discussion, folks. If you are a Herman Cain supporter, how do you win primaries? How do you get your name on the ballot if you're not? If you don't have enough staff? I mean, that is part of politics, presidential politics. You've got to get registered. You have to be on ballots. But I thought the toughest exchange of the night were between, of course, Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, who people still perceive will end up, because of their financial backing and campaign organization, the two major candidates in this, and that will be the battle. I don't think that's certain yet for Rick Perry, but that's sort of how it's cast. Check this one out. This is the back and forth on immigration. Now, it's interesting for Rick Perry to try to hit Romney on immigration when Rick Perry is, again, against SB 1070, the Arizona law. He supported and put in place the DREAM Act in Texas for illegal immigrants to go to college at, you know, basically the same rates as citizens of Texas, but much lower than if you were a citizen of Oklahoma, an American citizen who wanted to go to a school in Texas. Let's listen to this exchange. It's an interesting one.
Mitt, you lose all of your standing from my perspective because you hired illegals in your home and you knew about it for a year. And the idea that you stand here before us and talk about that you're strong on immigration is on its face the height of hypocrisy.
I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life. I'm looking forward to finding your facts on that, because that just doesn't...
I'll tell you what the facts are.
Rick, again.
You had them.
Rick,
were you,
I'm speaking.
Newspaper,
I'm speaking.
The newspaper.
I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
It's time for you to tell the truth.
You get 30 seconds.
It's time for
this
you to
the
tell
way,
the truth,
way the rules
Mitt.
Work.
You say that you knew
would
you
please,
had
would you please wait?
Working.
Are you just going to keep talking?
Yes,
okay, let me finish with what I have to say. Look, this has been a tough couple of debates for Rick, and I understand that, and so you're going to get... testing.
You stood here in front of the American people and did not tell the truth that you had illegals working on your property. The idea that you can sit here and talk about any of us having an immigration issue is beyond me. I've got a strong policy. I've always been against amnesty. You, on the other hand, were for amnesty.
You wrote an op-ed, Ed, in the newspaper saying you're open to amnesty. That's number one. Number two, we hired a lawn company to mow our lawn, and they had illegal immigrants that were working there. And when that was pointed out to us, we let them go. And we went to them and said, you have a problem with allowing someone to finish speaking. And I suggest that if you want to become president of the United States, you got to let both people speak. So first, let me speak. So
he hit the nail on the head a while ago. He said there was a magnet of people that will hire illegals. And you are number one on that list, sir. And people need to understand that. You're one of the problems, Mitt.
I think we've been down that road.
Yeah, I think we've been down that road sufficiently. It sounds like the audience agrees with me.
You know, I want to jump in right on that, Jordan, because I will tell you something as someone that's an oral advocate. That was a terrible move by Rick Perry. Trying to create a national situation out of on the immigration issue by using an example that Mitt Romney allegedly hired a landscaping company that may have used illegal aliens in their landscaping business. To make that a national situation, he was booed. Now, this is, you know, if I was Governor Perry here, I would be very concerned that in the last two debates, I have been booed on this issue. So it's not working. And trying to attack the opponents on this by making it personal as a deflection point, which is what he's trying to do, just doesn't cut it. And I'm talking about as an advocate here. And I know there's a lot of people that are listening that are in favor of Governor Perry. We know all the candidates that are running for president of the United States. We're not taking positions on that right here. But we're going to tell you this. I'm looking at it from an advocacy skill. There's a serious immigration issue here, and that trivialized it, and I think that was a big mistake.
You know, it's interesting, too, because Governor Romney pointed out it wasn't included in that exchange, but I thought was very important, is that, listen, I mean, let's just get down to the basics, folks. You hire a company in America, right? It's a registered company. You call them in the phone book. You say, I need someone to mow my lawn, or I need a, you know, fix-it guy at my house. I got a leak. I got, you know, you're just hiring a company in a phone book. They're registered. They're there. Is it your job as an American to figure out exactly who's working for them, or is it the government's job and the company's job? Well, there's an E-Verify program. The Supreme Court said states can require corporations to use it. Guess who opposes E-Verify? Rick Perry. Mitt Romney made that very clear. Now, if E-Verify was in place in Massachusetts, that would never have been a problem because that company would have had to use the system that Mitt Romney hired, and then they would have gotten in trouble if they continued to employ people they knew were illegal immigrants. Rick Perry opposes that system. Now, I know some of that's because of Texas. It's controversial, the larger Hispanic population. But, folks, let's all make it real for ourselves. Every one of us could be put in that position. And I'm sure at some point, if you've hired a company to do something like that, manual labor kind of work, odd jobs around the house that you may need, or your place of business, or your company, if you need the lawn mowed at your company, and you hire a corporation, now it's your fault, you're supporting illegal immigration, and the guy who made sure that company doesn't have to check on the employees is the one calling you that. This is where I think, Dad, whatever people say that Rick Perry may have made some kind of comeback last night, the truth is he has put in place or opposed the laws that he's attacking Mitt Romney for falling prey to, because we all do. None of us have the ability to check people's immigration status, and Rick Perry's opposed to it.
Well, I think that's right, but I don't want to spend the whole time talking about this other than pointing out this is not the way to engage the issue by the personal ad hominem attacks. I think that was a mistake. Now, you saw some of that aimed in other issues as well. I mean, we'll play a situation from Herman Cain, who's presented a tax plan, which whether you like the plan or not, at least he's asserted a plan here. And I think the reality is that this you're going to see a Republican nominee pretty soon because the way that the whole calendar is moving here. But I want you to understand what the Founding Fathers meant by how we're supposed to operate our form of government here. And that's why, as Jordan mentioned earlier, we've got the foundations of freedom. Look, I want everybody, as we get into this political season, to have the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights. I want to send it to you, our gift to you. Simply call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And we're going to send you the foundations of freedom because, frankly, you need them. You need to know what our founders envisioned for our country, what they thought the appropriate response was into our form of government, the representative republic that we are. It's a representative form of government. And we need to realize that the importance of this. Can I play, Jordan? I'd like to do this. Play soundbite number one, which is the response with the Herman Cain. Actually, let's start with number two, and then I'm going to play number one. This is Herman Cain on his tax plan 999, and then Michelle Bachmann's response. So let's play number two and number one back to back.
Let's throw out the 10 million word mess and put in our plan, which will liberate the American workers and liberate American businesses.
If we give Congress a 9% sales tax, how long will it take a liberal president and a liberal Congress to run that up to maybe 90%?
That is, you know, and Michelle Bachmann here is a tax lawyer. She is has an LLM in taxation from William & Mary, which is a great school, and she's a lawyer, and she's a tax lawyer. In fact, she and I work in the same for the Department of the Treasury in the same positions after law school. Here's the problem. When you're adding a new tax under Herman Cain's plan, so I like Herman Cain, by the way. There's not a candidate up there. I disagree with Ron Paul primarily on his foreign policy issues, but on the tax issue here, this is a new sales tax. It almost becomes a value-added tax. The problem with that under the European model has been that 9% could become 18% in the wrong administration. And Jordan, he got hit pretty hard on that.
I think, you know, and coming from my background in the law as well, I think it's Michelle Bachmann's absolutely right, and so is everyone else on that stage. Remember, all eight other candidates think this plan, it sounds nice if Herman Cain's president and there's conservatives controlling the House and Senate forever. But even then, what in a time of war, how did the tax code start that? It started with a 1% tax, got all the way up to the 70%, 80% range, all because of national crisis. Think about how easy it would be with this sales tax to start increasing it with Congress, and they'd say, well, we're not increasing your income tax, so that's not as controversial. We're just increasing the sales tax. Think about buying a car, and if it's at 9% now with a sales tax, in Israel, for instance, because of their constant state of war, tax rate on a car, their VAT tax on a car at some points can be up to 100% because of the amount of money it costs to defend the state of Israel. So in the United States, you see how this can become an issue when you totally change the code. It sounds nice when these guys are in charge, but what happens, like Michelle Bachmann said, when you've got until 2010, when you had liberals, House, Senate, and, of course, in the White House playing around with all these different kinds of taxes. And on top of that, Dad, as Rick Perry said, what happens to those folks who are already paying high sales tax in their states? Let's check that one out, Bite 4.
Herman, I love you, brother, but let me tell you something. You don't have to have a big analysis to figure this thing out. Go to New Hampshire where they don't have a sales tax, and you're fixing to give them one. They're not interested in 999. What they're interested in is flatter and fair.
Well, there you have it. I mean, it's coming from all ends here. Listen, that's part of the debate. That's the beauty of the experience. But Herman Cain has to defend his tax policy and his tax plan. That's going to become a big part of this. Folks, you get educated. This is your day to get educated. We want to send you Foundations of Freedom, 877-989-2255. Our gift to you, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And we want to make sure you get your Foundations of Freedom, which is the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. It's got a lot of information in it. 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to JordanSeculo.com. The U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Gettysburg Address, vital documents, all part of the foundations of freedom in America. Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
If you have not yet ordered a copy of our great booklet we've put together called Foundations of Freedom, I want to encourage you to do so. We're going to use that as almost like a textbook on this broadcast. These are the kind of the foundational documents for American law, and it's something that everybody really needs to have, and it's our gift to you. It's absolutely free. I want to encourage you to call our toll-free number to get your copy of Foundations of Freedom.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we want you to have a free copy of the Foundations of Freedom. Call right now
toll-free at 1-877-989-2255. Get your free copy, The Foundations of Freedom. Call toll-free 877-989-2255.
Foundations of Freedom, it's absolutely free. You need to call and get your copy today.
Pay attention to a candidate's religion.
I think they should pay attention to the candidate's values, what the candidate stands for. That's what's at play, and the person's faith. And you look at that faith and what the faith teaches with respect to morals and values that are reflected in that person's belief structure. So those are important things.
You know, Dad, this is, of course, Rick Santorum. Anderson Cooper asked the question last night. We were all waiting for it. It didn't happen in the Bloomberg economic debate. Is religion fair game? And I think Rick Santorum hit the nail on the head. It's you judge a person by their value. I mean, anybody can call themselves whatever member of religion
right.
they want. Everybody got Jimmy Carter was a Southern Baptist. Let me keep reminding folks of that. And did you like his policies? And he may have been, you know, a Southern Baptist in his heart, you know, spiritually and theology. Wise, but is that still that's why you're going to choose him to be president? Would you vote for him now just because of that if the other candidate wasn't a part of a mainline denomination? And then you, of course, this gets into Rick Perry had that endorser, the pastor in Texas, who, Dad, you've debated before on this issue.
I have.
And Perry was asked again, will you kind of, not just say I didn't agree with that statement, but actually, you know, call the pastor out and say, what he said is wrong, and those kind of comments are divisive. Here's Rick Perry's statement by 25.
And this country is based on, as New talked about, these values that are so important as we go forward. And the idea that we should not have our freedom of religion to be taken away by any means. But we also are a country that is free to express our opinions. That individual expressed an opinion. I didn't agree with it, Mitt, and I said so. But the fact is, Americans understand faith, and what they've lost faith in is the current resident of the White House.
You know, Dad, I don't want to be mean here, Dad, but you have to wonder a little bit. I don't even know if Rick Perry, where he was going with that question. He obviously didn't want to have to say anything about that pastor. He's an influential pastor
right.
in Texas. But, I mean, he was all over the place. Somehow we got to personal faith. And then we got to faith in America. And then I think, Dad, if you want to comment before, because Mitt Romney's response was not just the cult line that the pastor used after the fact, but what he actually said during the introduction of Rick Perry at the Values Voters Summit that Rick Perry said was, you know, a grand slam. He hit it out of the park. We'll hear Mitt's response, and then, Dad, we'll go to you by 26.
What I actually found that was most troubling in what the Reverend said in the introduction was he said, in choosing our nominee, we should inspect his religion. And someone who is a good moral person is not someone who we should select. Instead, we should choose someone who subscribes to our religious belief. That idea that we should choose people based upon their religion for public office is what I find to be most troubling. Because the founders of this country went to great length to make sure, and even put it in the Constitution, that we would not choose people who represent us in government based upon their religion, that this would be a nation that recognized and respected other faiths, where there's a plurality of faiths, where there was tolerance for other people and faiths. That's a bedrock principle.
Well, here's what you've got. Mitt Romney is correct from the constitutional perspective. It's called Article 6 of the Constitution. We have no religious oaths required in our Constitution. And as Jordan mentioned, I think correctly so, this idea that, look, Jimmy Carter was a Southern Baptist, but you certainly, many people listening to this broadcast did not agree with his views on anything when it comes to international policy and domestic policy as well. So there is no theological test. I do think values matter, obviously. I was very concerned, and Jordan mentioned this, I debated Pastor Jeffers back during the last election cycle in 08. Because I was concerned with what he was saying, because I made the statement to him, would you elect an incompetent Christian who you disagreed with on a whole host of issues, from life to the sanctity of marriage, whatever the issue might be, would you vote for them as opposed to a conservative who shared your value issues but had a different faith position or a different denomination? And basically his answer is yes. I think it was unfortunate, but the reality is You're right. Governor Perry needed to repudiate it strongly. Yeah, he kind of did. But I think we're going to get past this. We're not going to be talking about Reverend Jeffers. But we are going to be talking about, Jordan, I know you're going to address this because I've got to grab something here, but you're going to be talking about the Iran issue came up, and we also need to get an update on Pastor Nardacani. Let me say this also, folks. I encourage you to go to your phones and get Foundations of Freedom. We're offering it for the next couple of days here. The election cycle started. You need to be educated and informed. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
You know, folks, what I think is so interesting here is Joe Lieberman, who's Jewish, wrote this op-ed after this whole controversy began with this pastor's introduction of Rick Perry. Basically said, I don't care about someone's morals and values. I just care about if they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I care about if people have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but to go so far as to say it's not who the best debater, the not speaker, or even the person with the best morals and values, that seems to me a bit extreme, folks. And again, we have examples of that in our history, and I think the most is, I mean, Barack Obama, you know, he's a Christian. I mean, I know some of you doubt that, but he has gone on the record. He said it. It's not our job to be judging him when he has said and over and repeatedly made clear. And Jimmy Carter certainly was a leader in the Southern Baptist Church, and may have been, you know, fine on morally and his personal values, but politically, I disagree with about everything he did in office and everything certainly he's done since being out of office. Probably one of the worst presidents we've ever had, but yet he shared the faith and the denomination of Pastor Jeffers. So it gets very confusing when you start making those kind of comparisons. And let me just remind you, folks, that this is an issue why I think Rick Perry did not go out and just get it over with is because he wants it to simmer. He wants this to be an issue. But the big issue, really, folks, is the economy and national security. Remember, we've got Iran planning not just attacks on our soldiers in Iraq, which we know about the Iranian Revolutionary Guard involved in, not just meddling in other countries' affairs, but now we've caught their agents trying to blow up the Israeli embassy where I am in Washington, D.C., the Saudi embassy where I am in Washington, D.C., and assassinate the Saudi ambassador and their Iranian agents. And of course, tie this into the economy. Those are the issues that matter. And by the way, Rick Perry, the Iranian agents, do you know where they met up what border they used? To try to meet up with a Mexican drug cartel. Remember how we said Iran and Hezbollah are working with those drug cartels? Oh, they just crossed over the border from a small town in Texas, no offense, and they just walked over, and that's where they were setting up this whole deal to get the weapons and of course the materials to build the bombs to blow up the Israeli embassy, the Saudi embassy, and assassinate the Saudi ambassador in a restaurant in New York, which would have killed a lot more people than just the ambassador. This is all happening on our border, and this is a guy who, again, doesn't really want to build a fence, is against a fence, is giving, you know, the illegal immigrants, you know, you get your in-state tuition when a kid from Oklahoma's got to pay, you know, 10 times the amount. Folks, this is why these debates are very important. You kind of put all these issues go together. You know, immigration, border security now ties into what happened in Iran and what's happening in Iran. And when we get back, you know, of course, we will talk about in my show today, we'll talk about Pastor Youssef as well. Let me just give you an update. We're awaiting word from the Ayatollah. Our petition has been filed. There's a little bit more time if you want to sign up online at aclj.org, but we're not doing it by phones anymore because we got to get it in very quickly, and we can't have that data transfer. If you sign up at aclj.org, it happens quick. So go now, aclj.org, or call and get your Foundations of Freedom, 877-989-2255. These are complex issues, but you see how they tie together. Taxes, economy, Iran, border security, immigration, all one in the same. 877-989-2255. They sure do talk about the Constitution a lot in these debates. Now, that's a good thing, but you better understand it. Call and get your copy, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.